Clerk of the House when he reads the title of the bill.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's resume. The time now is 3:30 p.m. The next measure on our agenda is number 95, taxable values and taxes of property. Mr. Bellow, I think you also are representing proponents for this measure.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Anything we need to know, or should we just plunge right in to see if there's any questions?
No, other than a slight change to the draft, I don't have any substantive issues right now.
Okay. Are there any questions for proponents from the board? Eubanks.
It's probably, you know, the elephant in the living room. In terms of the format of the ballot question, whether you think that this is the appropriate format or whether it needs to be more in the Tabor format about taxes and a tax increase?
See, we disagree that this is a tax increase. This is shifts more of the burden from residential to non-residential property, 29% by raising the commercial or non-residential rate from 29 to 34%. It will shift more of the burden, but it's not a tax increase as such. So we don't think that it should be set in the framework of Tabor.
Thank you.
Just based on, and forgive me, I'm trying to remember the Tabor language here, that there's no increased revenues. Is that what's going on here? Because you're just shifting the burden of the revenue, so it may be increased taxes to one group, but it decreases to another group, and so therefore it's revenue neutral. Is that what?
We think if this would be revenue neutral. There might be some instances. I mean, one of the things about this whole area, as I've learned, is it's very complex. I've talked with the property tax people at the state, and I've read and studied about this. I'm not a property tax lawyer, and it's very complex. And for example, I was told that this could result in the residential rate freezing for many years to come, longer than it would otherwise freeze. Because the way it's set up right now, there's a 7.9% residential rate. Theoretically, that should be 8.8%, but Tabor prevents that from being raised. And so one of the results of this would be for a longer period of time, even, it would not reach the level where it would nominally or theoretically have to be raised, but it would not increase residential taxes. There are some jurisdictions that have opted out of Tabor, and there are a number of jurisdictions. I don't know how many they are, because I don't think they keep a tabulation of it, that have opted out.
It's actually in court this week about whether that was a property tax opt out. That lawsuit's going on right now.
There may be. My information is that some jurisdictions may see higher revenues as a result of this. So we don't agree with the statement from the fiscal analysis that this would not raise revenue. We think it would, well, maybe they say it would not raise revenue to the state government. The way it would probably benefit the state government would be that if there was more property tax, it would reduce the amount of backfill, as they call it, that has to go for Amendment 23, the education. To fund the education requirements of Amendment 23, there may be less backfill from the state government, the state general fund, having to pay for the requirements of Amendment 23. So it's to say it would not raise revenue to the state government, it's indirectly it would benefit the state general fund, we think, because it would raise some taxes on part of the on the commercial property. But as to being ultimately revenue neutral, it's difficult to say that it would be ultimately revenue neutral because of the differing situations of the many different taxing jurisdictions, as to whether they've opted out Tabor, as to whether other variables. That my understanding is, for example, right now we have a situation where residential property, which had been increasing in value over the last 20 years by significant percentages and greater than commercial property, now is stagnant and is even decreasing. And it's conceivable that in some jurisdiction where they have a large pool of residential residential property that is stagnant or that has actually reduced in value or diminished in value, that it could increase to lead to an increase in revenues in certain years. So it's hard to make a monolithic statement about whether this would increase revenues, because I think it's going to depend upon the taxing districts and their particular situations. That's as I understand it from talking to my property tax experts. So we don't think that this is a tax increase in the sense that Tabor requires, purports to require that it have a phrase that states that shall there be a tax increase. It's certainly not going to be a $577 million tax increase on residential taxpayers. It's not going to be any tax increase on residential taxpayers.
Ms. Eubanks.
Just as a follow-up then, are you willing to take the risk of this measure being struck down in terms of the title for it on the basis that if it wasn't in the Tabor language format, if it was challenged on that basis, is that a risk that you're willing to take?
Could I look at the Tabor for a minute? Because this,
sure.
I just saw this today.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, I think this is a Tabor raising taxes on somebody. Just to help you, Mr. Bello, sorry. I would look at Section 4A. That should drive you to where you want to be.
Well, those are the items that are subject to voter approval. The ballot language is up in 3C.
Right,
but I
think his issue is that it doesn't apply.
One of the questions I would have is this initiative in the body of the initiative states that any increase in revenues would not be subject to the Tabor limitations. And so it seems almost circular to say that, in a sense, what we're saying is this amends Tabor. This amends Tabor. So under those circumstances where you're specifically in the body of the initiative saying that it would not be subject to Tabor limitations, you have to then comply with Tabor. That sort of raises a question for me whether we would have an obligation to comply with this provision of Tabor to say that this shall be a tax increase when we're in the body of the initiative saying that this amends Tabor and is not subject to Tabor, any increases that there might be in revenue or spending.
Except that Tabor applies until this passes, right? So Tabor applies to the initiative in the form that is presented to the voters, even though once it's passed, it'll amend Tabor.
Well, I don't want to take a risk that this would pass and then be determined to be unconstitutional in light of Tabor. What I am concerned about, though, is that the estimate that the fiscal analysis has done here does not distinguish. It says that at the last paragraph could raise property taxes by $552 to $577 million. Well, it's definitely our understanding of this initiative and our purpose in this initiative, and I think it's clear in the face of it that this doesn't raise residential property taxes. And so something saying shall taxes be increased by $552 million is misleading, because this would not be an increase in residential property taxes. If there's going to be any increase, and I don't know about their numbers, they're experts at determining numbers, and we don't have a contrary study, but that would be misleading to imply that this is an increase in everybody's property taxes, when at most if their numbers are correct, this would be an increase in commercial property taxes. I mean, clearly it's an increase in the assessment rate from 29% to 34% on commercial or non-residential property.
So it raises taxes on non-residential property, right? So there is a tax increase.
There is a tax increase on non-residential property, but definitely not on residential. So I think that in order to be accurate, if there were going to be any sort of a phrase about shall taxes be increased, it would have to specify that shall taxes on non-residential property. Otherwise, it would be misleading.
So let me see if I'm sort of trying to square all of this. Mr. Bellow, I guess with respect to the OSPB estimate that property tax revenues for local governments would increase overall, I mean, it sounds like there may be, in particular counties or political jurisdictions, there may be different effects, but do you think this is a reasonable estimate that revenues and for all local governments could be increased at all in the neighborhood of $552 to $577 million?
I don't have a sense of that, and I don't think that Tabor just requires that it specify what the tax increase shall be. As I'm reading Tabor right now, it just says, shall taxes be increased annually? And so I think that the way around that, we haven't done our own study yet on this. I'm not sure if that's an accurate number. They haven't specified whether that is a number limited to commercial property, which gives me some concern, because this measure does not increase taxes on non-residential property. And therefore, I think that the terminology could be, shall taxes be increased on non-residential property? They don't have to. And that's true. I mean, it's a 29% to 34% increase of the rate on non-residential property.
But I'm sorry.
We have to specify that number, and I have some doubts about the accuracy of that number, but I don't have a counter study.
Well, and where I think the issue lies is in 3C of Tabor. I mean, this is where I focus, is where the portion that says ballot titles for tax or bonded debt increases shall begin, and then it gives you a format. You know, shall state taxes be increased or some kind of taxes be increased a certain amount annually, you know, that's the issue before the title board is, do we need to follow that format here? Is there some kind of tax increase that requires us to follow that format?
And the difficulty is with the numbers, I think. I mean, it's clear that shall, for example, if this said, shall taxes on non-residential property be increased from an assessment rate of 29% to 34%, that would be exactly accurate. Now, whether they're actually going to result in an increase of $552 million to $577 million, we don't know, and actually the fiscal analysis section expresses doubt about that as well. And so I'm really wary about putting a number in there that the proponents of that number themselves say that there's considerable uncertainty about that number. Whereas the specific number that is accurate is it's a 29% to 34% raise in commercial. investment rate.
So well,
I wonder if that's a way of dealing with this issue, not specifying the amount, which is, I think is in doubt, but saying the 29 to 34%. I mean, that is a precise statement of the effect of this measure would be to increase commercial or non-residential, that is, from 29 to 34% assessment rate. It said, shall the assessment rate on non-residential property be increased from 29 to 34% of actual value? That would be an exact statement. Would not be lend itself to the same uncertainty about whether this is an accurate number.
Well, but maybe I'm confused, but I don't see that as the immediate issue as far as whether or not we have to comply with the format that Tabor dictates in the case of a tax increase. When they have come before the board in the past, I mean, we've kind of worked through an understanding that if there is a tax increase, it's always an estimate and it's always unclear what it would be. But the understanding would be that if this requirement in 3C applies, then some proponents may prefer for it to be on the high side, because the earlier part of 3C, I think, seems to suggest that if the tax increase, and again the assumption is that there's a tax increase, is understated in the estimate, then the excess may have to be refunded. And so there may be benefits to proponents of going along with a higher figure to avoid that risk. But to me, there's still a possibility that this doesn't apply at all. I'm not entirely clear on that. And if it does apply, how we would say it? And to the extent that you indicated that proponents have not yet conducted that analysis, one potential approach to this would be to go ahead and pick a lane for purposes of today's title setting, and then if proponents decide they're unhappy with either putting an estimate in this format, in this Tabor format, if they're unhappy with that, submitting a motion for rehearing so that we revisit that in a couple of weeks, or the other side is leave the titles as they are without an estimate, and then again the proponents may prefer to do a motion for rehearing, and there's 7 days to decide that if we set titles. But either way, you can file a motion for rehearing and reconsider. It's still a pretty short time frame to make up for the proponents to make up their minds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get a chance. I'd like to confer with one of my associates.
Okay. So, I mean, I assume, yeah, the basic rule would be that would be the case, although I'm not quite sure in this type of tax increase, if it did. Sharon's the expert.
Or case that held an extension of not require the ballot language. That was out of Colorado Springs involving. Sales tax there was Court of Appeals or Supreme Court. Supreme Court saying that is not a tax increase, so you didn't have to use the mandatory ballot language.
But Benson, they're clearly